Scripture reading for this morning hour's worship service we can find in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. We'll read the first 20 verses. Mark 4, 1 through 20. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered together unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them by many things, by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some thirtyfold, some 60, and some 100. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let us now, dear congregation, after a long winter, we see once again much activity in the fields around us. We see the farmers busy cultivating and disking, preparing the soil, going out with their planters and planting the seed, planting the corn, planting the beans once again. And we know, of course, that there is much parallel between the physical world that we see around us and the spiritual world. And we see that, those kinds of parallels drawn again and again in the Scripture. And so also, we find a very clear parallel between the physical world and the spiritual world in the account of God's Word that we have before us in the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is a very, very familiar portion of God's Word. I trust that even the children, they know this story well. We've learned it, children, haven't we, from our very young years. And perhaps even it's one of the most familiar parables that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. We find it recorded in three of the gospel accounts, in Matthew and Mark and in Luke, with about the same amount of detail in each of those accounts. And it is quite possible, though not for sure, that this indeed may have been the very first parable that the Lord Jesus Christ ever taught his disciples, because in Matthew's account, the disciples ask him immediately after he tells this parable why he speaks to them in parables. But we've heard growing up in catechism and from the pulpit as well that a parable, very simply, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story, something that actually didn't happen, but it tells a spiritual truth of something that actually does happen. And in this parable, we read about a sower casting seed, and it lands in different areas, and it produces different results. And it's very clearly and very simply a picture of the heavenly seed, the Word of God, being cast and landing in the hearts and minds of many different types of hearers. And I pray that this simple message this morning may be blessed to all of us as adults, but also may be blessed in a very special way to children, because it's a story that even the children, I trust, can understand the basic elements of it. And so our text word this morning is actually all the verses that we read from Mark chapter 4, the first 20 verses, the parable of the sower. Three thoughts with God's help. First, we see the sowing of the seed. Secondly, we see bad soil hearing. And thirdly, good soil hearing. So the parable of the sower, sowing the seed, bad soil hearing, and good soil hearing. In this chapter, dear congregation, we find the Lord Jesus Christ doing something that he was very accustomed to do. And that is, he went out and he taught the multitudes the Word of God, very simply. And on this occasion, we find a very large group of people following the Lord Jesus Christ, very likely a mixed multitude, all different types of people, maybe all different types of beliefs, some of them believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, possibly some unbelievers, but all listening to the words of Jesus. And there were so many people, we are told here in Mark's account and in the others as well, that Jesus Christ, he went out on a ship and he taught from the ship as the people sat or stayed on the land. And it's very likely he did this so his voice would project very well across the hard water and bounce off to people who were sitting and listening. So even the people who were in the back rows would be able to hear the message very clearly. And on this occasion, he speaks about a man, about a farmer, indeed, who went out to sow in his field to plant his crop. Now, children, we well know that in those days, there weren't any tractors. There were some animals, some mules and donkeys and some horses, possibly. But farmers, they didn't get into their John Deere's and their Internationals and go out and fill their seed drills up and drive away on each farm. But it was a very, very simple, but yet a real process that they went through. And in those days, farms weren't set up like they are today. Now, when we drive out in the country, we drive several miles, we see an acreage, and then we see a farm. We drive a few more miles and we see another acreage and we see a farm and a homestead on it. But back in those days, generally, people lived together in towns, the farmers as well. And the farms would surround each of the towns. And the farmers, they would go out in from the villages, and as the seasons came and went, they would prepare the soil, they would sow, and they would harvest. And going out to those differing fields, there would be access paths that they would walk on. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks about these things in this parable, that this farmer went out to sow his seed. And very likely he would take with him a bag over his shoulder, and he would put his hand into the bag, and he would pull out the corn or whatever type of seed he had in there, and he would cast it out on the field. And as he walked along, also beside this pathway, and he would cast the seed. In went his hand, and out came the seed again and again and again and again, until he had the whole seed, the whole field rather, covered with seed. Now this parable is very clear and very simple. Some of the seed falls on the hard-packed paths, which are called here the wayside. Those paths that surround the field. Some of the seed falls on stony ground, where there's not a whole lot of dirt. Some falls where there's thorns and thistles growing as well, and some falls on good ground, on prepared ground, and that seed, it grows and it bears fruit. And very simply, dear congregation, this parable is a picture of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look then at some very important elements in this parable. The seed, the sower, and the soil. First of all, the seed. The seed, verse 14 tells us, is the word. The sower soweth the word, Christ says, as he explains the parable. And as wonderful as the word is, we must understand also the context of what Jesus Christ is speaking about. The context is the seed distributed. And so, the seed being the word, Christ is speaking here about the seed being cast, the seed being distributed. Seed corn, we know, farmers, as well as all of us know, that it doesn't do much good if it sits in the bag on the back of the pickup truck and it sits there. Imagine what good it would do children if the bag was just sitting there in the back of the pickup truck and it sat there through the spring and through the summer and through the harvest and into the winter and it just sat there. It doesn't do much good, does it? And so also the Word of God just sitting there in its cover doesn't do much good. This seed, this Word, this Bible must be distributed. It must be cast. It must be heralded out in this world and among the church of God. And it is God's ordained way, dear congregation, to save sinners, to conform His people more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, to have His Word heralded, to have His Word cast. In the Old Testament, it was God's Word given to the Old Testament prophets and leaders, and they cast it among the people, and that led Israel to repentance and faith. The disciples, what did they do? They brought the Word in the New Testament, and they cast it. They proclaimed it. Christ told them to proclaim it upon the housetops. In other words, shout it out in the city. Cast it out across the whole city. Because that's where the Word does good. Just like seed doing good. It must be cast. Now that may seem like foolish and foolishness to some people. And some say you have to have more than preaching. But Paul says very simply, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That doesn't mean, of course, that preaching is foolishness from God's perspective, but that some think that preaching is foolishness. Some think you have to have more than the preaching of the Word of God. That's why, when we gather for worship here, we don't have a video presentation, or we don't have visual aids. Of course, these things have their place and their proper place in youth group settings and informal gatherings and so forth. But for worship in the house of God, we have the simple proclamation of the Word of God. And that seed, dear congregation, is still being cast today. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, cast the seed upon the waters, and it shall return after many days. It is God's command that the seed has to be cast faithfully each week. And it is done here in North America. It's done across the face of this earth in many nations, in many settings, in many languages, among many people. And what we must pray for, dear congregation, in all different types of settings, is that those who indeed are casting the seed may cast the pure seed of the Word of God. Occasionally, of course, it may be that when farmers, they go out and they cast the seed in Jesus' day and in our day too, that there are bad seeds mixed in with it. But we know for the best harvest, it's the purest seed that's put into the earth. And so we must pray that the purest seed is cast. Also, here in our own church, we must pray that we remain faithful, just casting the Word of God. We don't need more. And we certainly don't need less. We need the Word of God being cast. So there's the seed. Then, there's also the sower. Now the Lord Jesus Christ here speaks about a farmer, about a man who went out to sow in his field. But we do know that ultimately, the ultimate sower of the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the Lord, He appoints prophets in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, apostles and evangelists and missionaries and ministers of the gospel to speak on His behalf. And so God's servants, God's missionaries, all those who do God's work are but tools, are but instruments who indeed are carrying out God's commission, are carrying out Christ's commission. John 4 and verse 37 reminds us that one sows and another reaps. But ultimately, it is Jesus Christ who is doing the sowing. He said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. And Christ said much of the same in Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It is Christ who is speaking every time the Word of God is faithfully preached. Romans 10 tells us much of the same thing in the context of the official proclamation of the Word of God. That we hear Christ's voice. Well, there are many who oppose this truth. They say it's a man, it's a minister we are hearing. Well, that is true, dear congregation, if the minister is speaking according to our own convictions. But when the servant of God is faithful to the Word of God, Yes, it's the physical sound of the minister's voice that we hear. But in the physical sound of the minister's voice, when they're faithful to the Word of God, it is Christ's voice that we're hearing. See, the reason many oppose this is because many people like to have the option to listen to the Word of God, taking or leaving the Word of God as it's preached. You see, if in our mind we say, well, it's just a person preaching, it takes away from the authority of it, doesn't it? And we don't feel as accountable as intimidated if it's just a person. But if we come to realize indeed that this is the voice of God speaking to us, we ought to reverently bow before Him and to tremble with good and godly fear as we worship Him also in His house with rejoicing. Some people hear a sermon and say things like this, well, it doesn't apply to me. Or the preacher can make mistakes. That, of course, is true, congregation. The preacher can make mistakes. Preachers are mere mortals. But you see, every congregation is called then to be like the Bereans. You remember the Bereans in Acts 17, where Paul preached to the people at Berea, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And the Lord calls them noble. What a wonderful name to be called. Noble people, because they received the word and they went home and they compared that which they heard with the Bibles in front of them open. But it's crucial that we confess that it is Christ who preaches when His word is heard. Because if we don't believe that, it takes away from the power of the preaching. And if it has no power, it does us no good. And if it has no power in it, it's not able to save and to cleanse our souls. Paul writes in Romans 1 that the preached gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Sometimes those are words of warning to flee from the wrath to come. Sometimes those are words of great invitation. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes the words of exhortation. Do this in remembrance of me. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But they're always words for our welfare. God always speaks to us through the voice of Christ for our eternal welfare. And He expects us, congregation, to obey His word. And when we disobey the clear and the simple commands of the Bible, we are not just disobeying the minister. We may not be just disobeying those in authority over us, our parents, but we are disobeying the great Creator of heaven and earth. And who do we think we are as poor, finite dust of the earth to do that? And so you see, when He comes to us very simply and He says, repent and believe the gospel. And we say, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. I can't, or I won't. Who do we think we are, congregation? It's an offense against the Almighty when He sows the seed and we reject the seed. But then there's the soil as well. Not only the seed, the sower, but also the soil. And the emphasis, indeed, of this parable focuses on the way or the manner one hears the word preached. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear in his explanation in the latter part of this parable that there's different kinds of hearers represented in different kinds of soil. And so Christ clarifies that when the gospel is preached, there are at least three different types of soil that could be classified as bad soil hearing. The first one is illustrated in the seed that falls on the wayside, that falls on the hard-packed path surrounding the field. Now you can imagine, can't you, when the sower would go out and he would throw the seed and it would land on these hard-packed pathways that the farmers would beat down with their paths, and children probably would likely run along as well, but it would just sit there. And there would be all kinds of birds flying around, and they would see the seed, they would swoop down, they would land, and they would pick it up, and they would eat it. The seed would be gone immediately. And Christ clarifies, so it also is, in a very real way, with the preaching of the gospel. But it's the devil that comes. He comes down and he takes away the seed immediately and it's gone. Now sometimes that happens right when we're in church. We hear the necessity of salvation. We hear the necessity of obedience to the word in all different types of ways. We hear the gospel being preached and some wicked thought leaps into our minds. It snatches away that which we were just thinking about. And immediately, the thought is gone. And we lose track, and it's not there anymore. Or we can have all kinds of thoughts plaguing us. Indeed, while we're sitting in church, we think about that which happened in the past week. Or we think that which we have to do in this coming week. We're planning on our next business move, or we're worried about what type of weather it's going to be, or we're planning for our next meal. Or we're worried about our clothes, what we should be wearing. What Christ says to us, also in the preaching, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, it's so easy, isn't it, congregation, to have the seed just plucked away. And we allow it to happen. That's the saddest thing. Or we can have an impression of the truth of the Word of God while we're listening to it. And then sometimes immediately after we get out of church, we can begin speaking about all kinds of things, and suddenly that thought and that godly thought is gone. But we must guard ourselves against the devil's tactics. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 that we are not ignorant of his devices. And there's one thing he loves us to do, is to not talk about the Word of God, not cultivate the seed in. The devil hates that. And we must not be ignorant of the way he works. Let us never, dear congregation, underestimate the power of Satan. He is a mighty, mighty foe. Luther said it this way. He says, even though the head of Satan is crushed by Christ on the cross, he said, he still has more power in his tail to knock the conversion out of me than I have power to keep it. Satan hates the Word of God, and he will do everything to pluck it away. Secondly, Jesus said that some seed falls on stony ground, where there is just a little layer of dirt, lots of stones, and the seed goes in, the plant comes up, but it quickly withers away, and it dies. Such, Jesus says, are called stony ground hearers. And there are all kinds of hearers like this still to this very day. People hear the Word of God. They get all excited. It looks like a good plant growing. They receive it with joy. Sometimes these types of people like the presentation of how the Word is brought or some other element of it. But then when problems arise, when persecution arises, that zeal is dampened. When they hear what the Word really requires, perseverance to the end, taking the cross upon our own shoulders and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution literally means being pressed down on every side. And so when people, they receive the Word and they are persecuted, pressed down on every side, they see others looking at them, and now they go to church and now they read the Bible and they are disliked by some. Maybe they become less popular. And these stony ground hearers dislike these things very much. And as a result, they do not have fruit in their lives. Dear congregation, I pray that we too may not be stony ground hearers or wayside hearers. And then Christ goes on to say that there's another type of hearer as well. And that's represented in the type of soil that indeed receives the Word, but has all kinds of thorns and thistles growing up with the plant. And it's choked in the end. So it also is with the sowing of the Word of God. We can have wonderful plans on Sunday. We can have good plans to do this and to do that, to visit this person and to live the godly life. But oftentimes when we get back into our daily routine, our desire to get ahead financially or to get ahead other ways that Christ here calls the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes us. Or other lusts that can choke us so that we produce no fruit. Resolutions, dear congregation, are promises to ourselves that we are going to change is not real fruit. Let me repeat that again. Resolutions are promises to change is not real fruit. Oftentimes we can convince ourselves, can't we, in our own minds, that we resolve to do this and we have good intentions. Once again, Martin Luther says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Don't just intend it to do something, congregation. By the grace of God, do it. We must be out there bearing real fruit. There's so many things that can choke us. You say, well, but lust in my life chokes me. Congregation, there's thousands of things that can choke us. But you know in your own life, as I know in mine, that it's anything we do, we say, or we think that draws us away from being fruit bearers. Those are the deceitful things of life that choke us. And we must seek to repent of those and to turn to the living God. But all that tells us that indeed there are various ways of hearing the Word of God without benefit. But thanks be to God, the parable does not end there. There is also a way to receive the Word of God with benefit. But that's our last thought, and before we consider that, let's first sing together. The last type of hearer that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about is good soil hearing. And that's illustrated in the cultivated soil, where the seed falls and it goes in and it grows up and it bears all different types of fruit. Praise be to God, dear congregation, there are many of these types of hearers as well. They have a heart that is prepared, that is cultivated by the Holy Spirit and cultivated by prayer. These hearers are receptive to the Word of God preached, receptive to the Word of God proclaimed and taught and read and considered also in our personal devotions at home. There's a hungering and a thirsting for the Word of God. This type of hearer realizes that we are sinners and that we need this Word. That we need this Word like dry soil needs rain, like empty soil needs seed. And we need the seed again and again and again. And we have in our lives fruit upon the trees that come up from the planting of the Word of God. And what is that fruit? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly in Galatians 5 that fruit is love, joy, peace, faith, goodness, meekness, against which there is no law. The law of God does not condemn godly fruit. And we realize that we have this fruit, and we see, even with all our shortcomings, little evidences of this fruit in the lives of those around us, and we pray for more and more fruit in our own lives as well. And not only on Sunday, but every day of the week. Now note, the Lord Jesus Christ says that there are some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold fruit bearers. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very simply teaching in that there are varying degrees of fruit bearing in the lives of the people of God. Every single sinner is justified equally, is saved equally, but not every saved sinner is sanctified equally. Every single Christian is at a different place on the continuum. Some are fivefold fruit bearers, some are 20-fold, some are 30, some 60, some 80, some 90, some 100. There's all different types of people along that line. There's varying degrees of fruit in good soil hearers. It's all good fruit. Some is small, some may be imperfect, but it's fruit. And we must be careful, dear congregation, very, very careful, that we are not judgmental of people who we may perceive as being small fruit bearers. Sometimes some Christians, in their zeal, surpassing their knowledge, as it were, take up young plants and they pull them up by the roots to see if it's actually living. Foolishness. We have to be watering and fertilizing and edifying one another and encouraging one another in the faith. Yes, warning of sin, but doing it in love. But encouraging greater and greater and greater growth. That's what a strong church, that's what a godly church, that's what a godly church family does. We must be careful when we see small fruit bearers, or sometimes when we perceive no fruit bearing, that we don't immediately come to the conclusion, well, that person is obviously unsaved. Yes, it may be, dear congregation, but you and I make terrible judges. Let God do the judging of the heart, and let us do the encouraging with the Word, and let the Word do the great work of dividing, as it's called to do. Let us water one another. Let us fertilize one another. Let us cultivate one another with encouragements, corrections, exhortations, words of love, so that we all would grow more and more and more in the image of Christ. That's what Christians want. They want to see everyone growing greater and greater, because that's the way God gets more glory. And now every Sunday, here and in every church around this land, there are all different types of hearers sitting in the houses of God. And we have to ask ourselves, dear congregation, what type of hearer are we? Do we have fruit on the trees of our life? Do we have godly fruit? There's one difference between the first three types of hearers and the one last hearer. And that difference is fruit. We are called to bring forth fruit. The Lord warns us very graciously, but powerfully in Matthew 3. He says, "Now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree, not just some trees, but every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire." And the only way we know that we bear fruit, John 15, is very clear, as when we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You cannot produce godly fruit as a branch that's detached from a tree. It does not work. That was the great problem with the Pharisees, wasn't it? They tried to conform their lives, and they tried to make themselves look pretty with all kinds of beautiful fruit, and they were detached from Jesus. And he saw right through these things. He says it looks beautiful on the outside. It's all whitewashed on the outside like a sepulcher, but inside it's like dead man's bones. The cup is clean and shiny on the outside, but inside it's filthy and it's dirty. The only way to do that is just to be like a branch that's permanently attached to the tree and have the sap flowing out of it. And we see in the springtime too all the beautiful leaves and the fruit eventually going to be born on every limb. We have to remain and abide in Christ, because without me, Christ says, you can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things through Him that gives us strength. Let us remember, therefore, congregation, that there are various ways of hearing the word without benefit. But there is also a way of hearing the word with benefit. And in closing this morning, I want to lay before you just three simple ways to assist us in being greater fruit bearers by God's blessing. And that is this: before we come to church, before we open our Bibles to do our devotions, before we are ready to receive the seed, pray. Pray to God. Pray that our hearing may not be distracted, that our reading may not be distracted, that we would have our thoughts and focused on the Lord, that the Lord would keep Satan out of our hearts, and that we may say with David, "My heart, O God, is fixed. It's focused. It's latched on to the Word. And with thy grace and blessing, it'll stay there." We have to pray for that, congregation, because it's so easy to get detached and get distracted. And then, too, we must pray during the service, pray during our reading of the Word of God, with our eyes wide open, that the Holy Spirit indeed would keep us sensitive to the Word,
and that we may have that childlike, simple faith that simply believes the Word of God, that doesn't question the Word of God, and that receives with meekness the Word of God that is able to save and to sanctify our souls. And then thirdly, we must pray after each sermon is preached. Pray after each time we read the Scripture, that we may put into practice that which we have heard from the Word of God. Because it's not easy, is it? If we know even a little bit of our own failures as a Christian, it's not easy always putting into practice the Word of God. There are so many things that distract us. There's so many people. There's so many things in culture and above all, of course, our own heart, the desires of our own heart that want to draw us away from doing that which we know is right and the right thing to do. And so we have to pray, Lord, help me. Help me to do that which honors Thee. And I close with this question to your congregation. Do you desire that God is glorified? I trust that every single person here would say, yes, I want God glorified. And I want God glorified in my life. Well, then Jesus says very simply to us in John 15, herein is my Father glorified. And when the Father is glorified, so is the Son. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. May God assist us to so do. Amen.